Back in 1940, eight sensational heroes united to create the world's very first superhero team, the Justice Society of America. Now, 85 years later, we're gathering podcasters and bloggers from around the globe for a month-long celebration in an event we're calling JS April. Throughout April 2025, join dozens and dozens of podcasters and bloggers as they each share their own unique tributes to the original and greatest superhero team. Get ready for an all-star month of beloved characters, fascinating insights, and incredible stories. Follow the action on social media with the hashtag JSApril, and visit our website for a complete list of participating podcasters, bloggers, and what they're each covering at fireandwaterpodcast.com/JSApril.
Hey guys, welcome back to Lords of Order, a DC's Dr. Fate fan podcast. I'm your host, Ed Moore. I have in front of me, or actually on my tablet, All-Star Comics issue number 73 from April 1978. If you want to get in touch about this issue or any previous issues or any upcoming issues, if you want to kind of talk about something that I haven't talked about yet in hopes that I'll talk about it, I've got most of Dr. Fate's appearances laid out. These All-Star Comics appearances are pretty suspect, actually, and I'll get into that here momentarily. Anyways, all of this, if it prompts you to send some feedback, you can send that to Teal Productions on Facebook, Twitter, or Blue Sky. Lords of Order has a page on Facebook as well. You can leave comments there. The Dr. Fate Fan Podcast at gmail.com is the email address, and bigtimenoise.com/Dr. Fate is the website. I also will be participating in an ongoing, but April endeavor this year, JS April. So keep your eyes open, ears open for that. Now this issue is written by, well, before I get into that, let me throw out quickly what happened in issue 72, which does not have a Dr. Fate appearance. So, issue 71, the last that I did talk about, we hinted at the appearance of Thorn. I thought it was a Green Lantern villain, but they're placing it as a Flash villain. So, I am not sure. My silver and golden age DC history is not the strongest. So, I knew the character. I thought in our world, Alan Scott married Rose Thorn. Yeah, I don't remember. But we see that Thorn is starting to rip through Gotham, trying to A, make a name for herself, and B, take over all the thuggery in town. Mainly what she's doing is poisoning people, using special made throwing thorns that she has. After a little while, the heroes disperse that are available, and the heroes are Huntress, Flash, Power Girl, Green Lantern, and Wildcat. 2, 4, 5. There's two more that are supposed to be active members, but they're not here. They say that there's 7 active members. Maybe they are. Well, I don't know. We cut to Egypt real quick, where Carter is getting ready to leave Shara there on the dig. He's going to leave and come back. What he's doing is he's coming back to check and make sure that since there hasn't been a chairman, everything is still going okay, but it also gives him an opportunity to sport the new helmet that he has created. And in the midst of getting dressed and getting ready to leave, he and Shara are overcome by a giant shadow, and that's it. We don't know what happens with the shadow or anything. Back at Gotham, Thorn has her sights set on a particular judge that put her away. The JSA rescues the judge, but in the process, Wildcat gets poisoned. And between the fact that he is already suffering brain damage from being hit by the icicle's gun and the poison that the Thorn introduced into his system, he's in a pretty bad way. But the doctor says, interestingly enough, that the brain damage is arresting the poison from doing its job. So the two are kind of fighting it out in Wildcat's body as to see which is going to cause him the most damage. Meanwhile, nothing really is happening to him, but he's not getting any better either. We see that one of the nurses is Rose, who is the alter ego of Thorn. Two different personalities, but Thorn is able to control them both, which doesn't that mean it's only one personality and the other personality is just a disguise for the former? Anyways, comic books. Huntress is dispatched to get the gun that the Icicle used because it's a trophy in the JSA trophy room. She runs into the Sportsmaster, who I believe they even say is married to Thorn. So I guess where you see one, you see the other. So she is fighting the Sportsmaster while the rest of the JSA is fighting Thorn. And that's where we leave off. Now, in our issue, which is written for us by Paul Levitz, penciled by Joe Staton, inked by Joe Giella, colored by Adrian Roy, and lettered by Todd Klein, we have an image of, it's a split cover. We have the Huntress versus the Huntress on the left side. Well, actually, it's three images. We have the Sportsmaster going up against Power Girl and Flash on the right side. And we have Thorn attacking Wildcat in the middle bottom, which isn't entirely accurate, actually. We open in the hospital with Wildcat in the bed and Power Girl, Flash, and Green Lantern surrounding him, bemoaning his plight. Whereas also on this page, we have an image of Huntress versus Huntress. And we get into the story, and that is what is going on in the JSA headquarters. The Huntress has set up all kinds of traps in order to trap the Huntress, as she is there trying to get the Icicle's ice gun from the JSA trophy room, because the doctor indicates that a way to correct the brain damage that Wildcat has suffered is to determine the frequency or radiation band or what have you of the Icicle's Icicle gun and work backwards from there as to finding a cure. He's already doing that with the poison. The JSA needs to acquire a sample of the poison that was used, and an anti-venom can be constructed and can combat the poison in Wildcat's system that way. Many pages of Huntress on Huntress battle here, for those of you that get into that kind of thing, Huntress on Huntress. Cut back to the hospital, you know, nothing's changed really. Green Lantern, because they figured that the Huntress should be back by now, Green Lantern checks via his power ring and sees the pay-per-view quality Huntress on Huntress action here and decides that he is going to swish off to help the Huntress, defeat the Huntress, and get the Icicle's ray gun. Kind of interesting. I think maybe the Flash could have gotten there faster, but Flash and Power Girl go zooming around Gotham City looking for Thorn. We cut to elsewhere. That's what the narrator tells us. An inadequate description, admittedly, but it will have to do for now. Suffice it to say that elsewhere is a land of twin suns, towering pyramids, shadowy beings, and Dr. Fate and Hawkman. And we see the two of them, each being carried by an individual large creature. Maybe it's constructed of shadow. It's kind of hard to tell. It is in shadow, but it could be just a lighting snafu, and they're actually constructs. But they are both deposited on the ground in front of what to me appears to be a giant green pyramid. And the pyramid says, or voices from within the pyramid say, "Truth, you speak, mortal, but far too late. The master summoner you face and reckoning awaits. Reckoning for you and all your mortal race." And that's it. Cut back to Gotham. Flash and Power Girl zooming around. Suddenly, Power Girl hears Thorn's voice, and it's coming from this direction, and they divert. Flash realizes that this direction is the direction of Keystone Laboratories, but more importantly, his house, which, oh my gosh, means that Thorn is out to get the Flash's wife, Mrs. Garrick. And sure enough, she is inside threatening Mrs. Garrick. The Flash flashes in, but before he can get there, the Sportsmaster steps out and looses a rocket-powered soccer ball that hits Power Girl and a rocket-controlled net onto a soccer net that entraps Flash. The net starts winding tighter and tighter around Flash. Power Girl spikes the soccer ball at the Sportsmaster, knocking him off of his, riding some sort of scooter, it looks like here. The Flash uses the leverage of the net twining around him, getting tighter and tighter. He adds to it until finally the net breaks apart, which means it was not like the wire meshes that you see a lot of times that are rocket controlled that can like slice through people because they like get tighter and tighter and tighter and slice them up. Yeah, it wasn't one of those. It must have been just a regular fabric net. The Sportsmaster is falling off of his scooter that Power Girl blew up, but he dispatches a parachute and uses the parachute to fly away. We cut back to the hospital where we're trying to ratchet up the intensity with Wildcat, so the doctor keeps telling us there is less and less time, and if things don't happen in time, and time, oh, give me time, you know, et cetera, et cetera, for the doctor and Wildcat. We cut back to the JSA headquarters where Huntress on Huntress action is going full bore, except that our JSA Huntress has been entrapped in a glass case. Green Lantern rescues her from within the glass case, and the two of them then go about attempting to dispatch the evil Huntress, which still is proving very, very difficult to do, even though she's outnumbered. She gasses Green Lantern unto unconsciousness, leaving just the Huntress to fight the Huntress. And indeed, their battle ensues. But before we get to that conclusion, we cut back to Wildcat, where a doctor is talking to Chief. He refers to him as Chief. And I wonder if this is the Corrigan character. He's got a green suit on with a tie not fastened all the way up to his neck. And he's smoking a cigarette, brown hair, Caucasian gentleman. I thought that was the Jim Corrigan character that we ran into a little bit earlier. I thought I made mention of that. Cutting back to Jay Garrick's house, the game master has, or sports master has recovered. He attacks now Power Girl with some razor sharp gambit cards. Oh no, I'm sorry. They're not gambit cards. They're just razor sharp cards that he is able to flick and fling with rocket power. I'm not so sure that one of these could damage her in that she is supposed to be modeled after Superman, right? I don't think these cards could do any damage to Superman. But she's swishing and swashing and flooping around, flying, trying to avoid them. And he's trying to hit her till finally she flies down to the ground and scoops up a rock and throws the rock, hitting a big limb on a tree above where Sportsmaster is in his levitating roulette wheel, which is what he is riding now. So he ditched the scooter that got trashed for a roulette wheel, which he had somewhere, who knows? The tree limb falls and knocks him down, pins him into the roulette wheel, and brings the entire contraption down to the ground. At Jay Garrick's house, the thorn now is spinning, or she is whirling around. I didn't know the thorn could whirl, but she is whirling around, threatening Jay and Mrs. Garrick with thorns. If you get too close, I'll loose a thorn, and at this speed, not only will the thorn poison you, but boy, it will sink in deep. You'll have to dig to get that thorn out. No, that's not what she says. I just added that part. As the Garricks are watching Thorn whirl, some of her thorny men attack Flash. Flash swooshes around, knocking all of them out, coming at the whirling thorn. He sets up a larger wind funnel because they have been known to capture small whirling winds within, disturbing their flow. So he kind of sets up a counter vortex. Thorn is creating her own vortex, and the Flash sets up a counter vortex, and it cancels her vortex to where she is just standing here dizzily. Power Girl rushes in with Game Master, and Flash whirls out, carrying Thorn and the Thorny Boys in his wake. All of them running to, I guess, local police headquarters with all of their villains in tow. Cut back to the JSA headquarters where we have the Huntress on Huntress action here. The evil Huntress, or the good, the JSA Huntress notices that the evil Huntress has walked unknowingly beneath a trap that the evil Huntress had set for the JSA Huntress, but it had not been triggered. So Helena, the JSA Huntress, the good Huntress, triggers the trap, and the bad Huntress succumbs to her own trap, courtesy of the good Huntress, who uses the pistol crossbow to trigger the trap, and the Huntress, evil Huntress, gets upset because nobody told, or Thorn didn't tell her that the good Huntress had a handheld crossbow, or she would have set different traps, I guess. I don't know what difference it would have made. If it really would have made any difference. Who knows? Then we have a couple pages of the Huntress here because, of course, she is our... she may even be our POV for the stories, although I don't think so. It certainly feels like it's a third-party narrator. But, you know, there's a lot about the Huntress and Power Girl in that they are... they don't know their place. They're still on their correct Earth at this point. They haven't come to the other Earth, and I apologize, I can't differentiate between 1 and 2. I think they're on Earth 1 now, but eventually they travel to Earth 2, I think. Or maybe they already have. I'm not sure. I think this is still their original Earth because Bruce Wayne is her dad, and she doesn't want him to know that she's doing this. Huntress. I apologize, guys. DC, even though, you know, I like Dr. Fate and I read Dr. Fate, I still haven't read a whole lot out beyond that. So, as I said earlier, the Bronze and Silver Age of DC Comics is still relatively foreign to me. So, I do the best I can, but I don't want to commit the energy to reading up on everything because I want to read these books and talk about these books. You know I bring stuff in, and if I don't know, I probably shouldn't bring it in, but a lot of it is worth mentioning anyway. And so there you go. I am me doing perhaps this sad ass show. I don't know, the best I can. Okay, sorry. Let me take my pity party hat off. And next we cut to Wildcat being observed from the observation room above the operating room. Power Girl, Flash, Huntress, and Green Lantern are watching. Something struck me here. Four subdued figures gaze through a glass partition, horrified by everything they see. They're watching brain surgery, if I recall. That is where the damage to Wildcat is that they had to operate on. The poison they were able to overcome via an antivenom that was made from the original venom. The brain damage that Icicle's ice gun did would require surgery. So they're sitting up here in the observation room watching brain surgery, which does have to be pretty gross. I'm sorry. That's, you know. The doctor waves at him. Wildcat's going to make it. Everybody's cheering. And we see in the final panel a mysterious, shadowy kind of hand gesturing at a green pyramid through which is being scryed the scene of the four heroes celebrating in the observation booth of the operating lounge. Next issue, the Justice Society's Most Epic Adventure. All-Star Comics jumps to 25-page giant stories. The Master Summoner reveals the doom of worlds. World on the Edge of Ending. On sale June 27th. So 2 months from when this one came out. And that, my friends, is the end of issue 73. Issue 74 will be the end of the series. And I glance at my notes here and see that I neglected to tell you that if you do not have an actual copy of issue 73 available to peruse, although I have just finished my coverage, but you could still read it. You can find it in Justice Society Volume 2 from 2007, Showcase Presents All-Star Comics from 2011, or All-Star Comics Only Legends Live Forever from 2019. All of those are from DC Comics, as is the original All-Star Comics. And so that finishes up. Let's see here. So everybody's next appearance... appears to be in All-Star Comics 74, so everybody should be there, except Wildcat. He won't be in 74. His next appearance is in Adventure Comics, where many of the tales of these Justice Society, did I say Justice League? Justice Society members. The tales of these Justice Society individuals moves to Adventure Comics because Adventure Comics at this time is an anthology book. I believe after issue 74, there is a two-part JLA-JSA team-up in the JLA book, and then Dr. Fate's story starts appearing in Adventure Comics also. Adventure Comics, let's see, what issue? Looking at my list, bear with me. Adventure Comics 461.